That's what he wants.
The Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
From American Public Media in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Money. Michael Jackson needs a lot of it to keep out of bankruptcy. There's word today that the pop singer is close to a deal to refinance $325 million in loans. As part of the agreement, Jackson might have to sell half his stake in the Sony Music catalog. That's the one that includes 250 Beatles songs. The catalog's worth $1 billion, a heck of a lot more than what Jackson paid for it 21 years ago. But the New York Times and the Wall Street Journal say that deal could still fall apart. Pardon my bluntness, but no wonder Americans are fat. A new study looks at the differences between the food at McDonald's and KFC in the U.S. versus the same food in Europe. Ashley Milne-Tite has the results.
Researchers analyzed McDonald's chicken McNuggets, KFC hot wings, and fries at both chains. They found an order of chicken and fries at a New York McDonald's had more than 10 times the amount of trans fats than the same meal in Denmark. Harry Bolzer of the NPD Group says French fries and fried chicken are the top ordered foods at U.S. restaurants, so changing what they're fried in is risky.
I'm sure they move with much caution about what impact it will have on the taste, but I also think the cost comes into play here too. Is the system set up, the supply system, to allow us to have trans fat-free oils for all products?
He says restaurants are reluctant to make such an investment when they're not convinced customers will savor the results. I'm Ashley Milne-Tite for Marketplace.
Sticking with the food theme here, three of the country's largest meatpacking companies have been found guilty of price fixing. Stacey Vanek-Smith has that story.
Cattle growers have a major beef with the meatpacking industry. Tyson Foods, Swift, and Cargill Meat Solutions were found guilty of conspiring to keep beef prices artificially low, letting them buy cattle more cheaply. The meatpacking business is already very concentrated. The country's four largest packers control 80% of the market. So why would they be looking for a leg up?
There's the old saying, beating in the breast of every good capitalist is the heart of a monopolist.
Neil Harrell is an agricultural economist at the University of Iowa. He says the real victims here are small operation cattle growers.
This action resulted in damage to a large number of producers. The only surprising part was that the damages weren't greater.
The jury recommended fines of $4 million for Tyson and less for Cargill and Swift. The prosecution estimated the price fixing cost cattle growers more than $40 million in one season. I'm Stacey Vanek-Smith for Marketplace.
So what's the best job in America? Well, besides hosting Marketplace, of course. The answer is software engineer, according to a new ranking from Money Magazine and Salary.com. College professor came in second, followed by financial advisor and human resources manager. The study looked at pay, job satisfaction, stress, and other factors. But forget all that. I'd say former chairman of ExxonMobil is a pretty good gig. We just found out that he got a $400 million retirement package last year. Plus, he can still use the corporate jet anytime he wants. The Dow gained 40 points yesterday to 11,129. The Nasdaq climbed 4 to close at 2314. The S&P 500 finished up a point. Last month, the government spent $250 billion in 30 days. A record. This is Marketplace. The frontrunner in Mexico's presidential elections this summer is making some waves. From the America's Desk at WLRN, Dan Gretsch reports.
López Obrador says he'll reject parts of the North American Free Trade Agreement that liberalized the trade of corn and beans in 2008. Promises like those have foreign investors jittery. They fear López Obrador will turn back the clock on Mexico's free market reforms. Laura Carlson is with the International Relations Center. She says López Obrador's political opponents are jumping all over those fears.
It's one of those things where the rumor can provoke the reality, and then the reality is there.
López Obrador has gone on damage control. He recently met with business leaders in Monterrey. But the damage may be done. He slid slightly in recent polls. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
You are listening to the Marketplace Morning Report. We are produced and distributed by American Public Media.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Medtronic, alleviating pain, restoring health, extending life. Medtronic, on the web at Medtronic.com. And by Mellon Financial Corporation, helping financially successful individuals and families protect and maximize their assets through the practice of wealth management. Mellon.com.
This is Marketplace. I'm Scott Jagow. When's the last time you looked at a dollar bill? I mean, really looked at it. That portrait of George Washington on the front, there's a pretty good story behind it. Right now, the original painting is hanging in the Boston Athenaeum. The library bought it, and a corresponding portrait of Martha Washington in 1831. They were both sold in 1980. So this is a homecoming of sorts. Sean Cole has more.
The two paintings come into view before you even pass through the gallery doorway. George and Martha, side by side, sort of facing each other, both suspended in 6-foot-high, opulent, gold-colored frames. And while we've all seen the George portrait thousands of times, the original doesn't look all that familiar.
Why not?
Well, for one thing, it's in full color, complete with George's ruddy cheeks and ice-blue eyes. For another thing...
Well, in the engraving process, you're actually reversing the image.
This is Richard Wendorf, the director of the Athenaeum.
So if you look at your $1 bill, you're going to see Washington's head posing, being positioned towards your right, whereas in the painting itself, it's positioned towards our left.
The painting, both paintings, are by a Philadelphia artist named Gilbert Stuart, who got the commission of a lifetime from Martha Washington in 1796. Her idea was to hang the portraits at the Washington Estate in Mount Vernon. Little did Martha know she would never get to hang them anywhere. The story goes that after the president and his wife modeled for Stuart, they would check in on him from time to time to see how he was coming. The heads and shoulders were done, but he was taking an awfully long time to fill in the background.
Martha Washington wanted to see progress because she really wanted them to move down to Virginia. But Washington came once on his own.
And discovered that Stuart had been using the paintings as templates.
That is, he was actually sustaining himself. He was building a career by producing finished portraits from this unfinished portrait.
The scamp.
Well?
Washington, being the selfless guy he was, decided to just let Stuart hold on to both paintings and keep his production line going.
And Stuart, of course, was elated, and he later referred to the copies he made from the original Athenaeum portrait, which is unfinished, as his $100 bills.
Because he charged $100 apiece for them. When Wendorf says unfinished, he means both canvases are mostly white, unvarnished blankness. It actually looks as though Stuart dropped dead in the middle of painting them. 3 years after he did drop dead, in 1828, the Athenaeum acquired the paintings for $1,500 from Stuart's widow and his daughter Jane. Jane, who also made a living doing replicas of them. In 1980, two other museums teamed up and bought the paintings from the Athenaeum, which is just borrowing them back until May 13th.
Does it make you look at your money any differently than you used to?
Well, I have been studying the dollar bill a little more closely. What I really wish is I could study the 1886 bill of Martha.
That's right. In 1886 and 1891, Martha Washington's face was on the front of a U.S. silver certificate. Its value at the time? $1. In Boston, I'm Sean Cole for Marketplace.
And in Los Angeles, I'm Scott Jagow. Thanks for listening and enjoy your day.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.